Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
My name is Perry and I will be doing your reading this morning. It comes from Matthew chapter 6 and it's verse 9 to 15 and it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Thank you.
Thanks, Perry. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Nathan at the back. Well, that was great. So much interaction there. The poll, the video, certainly getting a lot of thoughts out today, and it is interesting the thoughts we have on forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you for Jesus, who through whom forgiveness comes. And I thank you for your word that it's a light to our feet, helps to guide us and to teach us about how we can know you and worship you. Help us to hear your word this morning and apply it in our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's lots of difficult things that we're called to do in life. But probably the hardest of all is to practice forgiveness consistently. Everyone knows that forgiveness is important. We all think that actually forgiveness is a good idea. That is until we have someone that we need to forgive who's done something painful to us. And then it becomes very difficult to do, doesn't it? Every Christian brought up on the teachings of Jesus about turning the other cheek still find forgiveness a really hard pursuit. Doesn't matter your culture or your linguistic background, doesn't matter whether you are male or female, whether you're baby boomer, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, unforgiveness is actually an issue for all of us. Holding on to unforgiveness can be actually quite debilitating. But not usually to the person whom you're not forgiving. We hold on to unforgiveness because we think that somehow, and came out in the video, somehow it's going to punish the person, the other person, for what they've done to us. But someone once said, not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person is going to die. When in reality, the only person that's actually being poisoned by the unforgiveness is you. So what do you do when people wrong you or harm you or say or post hurtful things about you? Do you hold a grudge? Do you cut them off socially? Do you seek revenge? Plot their downfall. Fantasize them meeting some fiery end. If you're like me, then you've probably done all of those things or imagined them. But holding on to unforgiveness is like allowing someone to continue to live rent-free in your head. But it's not just a messed up mind or high blood pressure or ulcers that you get from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is serious. It's a serious business because it actually impacts many aspects of our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being and life. Which is why Jesus includes a section in the Lord's Prayer on forgiveness. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches his disciples this. He says to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." The whole of the Lord's Prayer is important to understand, and it's also important to apply to our prayer life. But Jesus actually singles out forgiveness as a priority, because it's something that we need to experience ourselves and something that we actually need to extend to others. We know that forgiveness is a priority theme for Jesus because he goes on and teaches about it on several occasions. Even at the end of the sort of prayer itself, he goes on and gives a few extra comments about forgiveness in verses 13 and 14. Even though Jesus' teaching here on forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer is short and it seems fairly straightforward, there are actually a few twists and turns in there and a few terms that we need to look at more closely so that we don't actually misunderstand how we can experience forgiveness ourselves and how we can extend it to others. And the first word I want to draw your attention to is the word debt. You see, some translations use the word trespass. Other translations use the word sin. But the word debt is actually a good choice, because it actually means something that's outstanding or something that's owed, a wrong that stands between people and God, or a wrong that stands between you and other people. And today when we think of debt, we really just think of it in terms of money. And even then we actually don't worry too much about debt, unless you're really, really in debt. But just about everyone today has a debt, don't they? You know, you've either you've got a mortgage or a credit card or a car loan, and people are paying those off continually. When we don't pay off our debt, our loan, there are consequences. If you don't pay off your mortgage, you can lose your home. If you don't pay off your car loan or your credit card, you can get a bad credit rating, which means you can never get another loan. And if you can't pay off any of those debts, then eventually the court declares you bankrupt, which is a very nasty thing. But not paying off a loan, unless that loan is to some sort of crime boss or some figure from the underworld, then it's probably not going to cost you your life. It's not usually life-threatening these days. But in the time of Jesus, in Jesus' day, an unpaid debt was actually a really, really bad thing. Very dangerous to have an unpaid debt. People who couldn't pay their debts were not just given a bad credit rating or declared bankrupt, they were often put into prison straight away and they were punished quite severely in prison. Some were even executed. And these sort of extreme measures were taken in a sort of forceful way to make that person pay up, or their relatives cough up the coin. So the debt that Jesus is telling his disciples to ask God to forgive is not money, though. It's not a loan. It is the attitudes that we have, and the things that we do that dishonour God and which break our relationship with God and that have broken our relationship with ourselves and with other people. You see, day to day we offend people, don't we? And we harm people in various ways. Sometimes we do this in minor ways, but other times more seriously and more extreme ways. Often, we're actually able to pinpoint and recognise the wrong that people have done to us, though, more easily than we can the debt that we owe them or the debt that we owe to God. But what's significant here in Jesus' teaching on forgiveness is that he actually doesn't start by telling his disciples to begin their prayers by asking God to help them to forgive other people. Jesus actually begins by telling his disciples that they need to first ask God to forgive us our debts. You see, before you can actually forgive your friend, your family member, your boss, a random road rage person, some thug or some brute that's harmed you, you first need to really grasp the debt that you owe God that needs to be forgiven and to experience God's forgiveness. Some people have read the Lord's Prayer and interpreted this section to mean that we need to forgive others as a condition of God forgiving us. But to come to that conclusion is actually to discount what God has done for you in Jesus. You see, if your forgiveness by God is dependent on you forgiving other people, then it means that you earn it, which is not good news at all, because all of us would actually struggle to do enough. Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts," because we have forgiven our debtors. He tells his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." And so the good news of Jesus is not that you need to do something in order to be forgiven. The good news is that God has done everything to forgive you, and you need to accept that. This is why Paul told the Ephesians, who attempted to rely on their own efforts to experience forgiveness from God, he said to them, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We can see what Jesus is driving at in regards to forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer by looking at the parable of the unforgiving servant. You see, the disciples also found the theory and practice of forgiveness to be very hard to understand and practice themselves. Peter even asked Jesus how many times he needed to forgive people who had wronged him. We should have asked that one in the poll today, shouldn't we? See if anyone read their Bible. Peter thought he was being really, really generous and suggested that, you know, maybe Jesus, we should forgive people up to 7 times, you know? But Jesus blows his reasoning out of the water, saying that forgiving someone 7 times is not enough. You need to forgive someone 70 times 7. And what Jesus means by that is not that, you know, you get to 70 times 7 and then that's it. What he's saying is, in other words, you're to offer people unlimited forgiveness. Imagine that. Doesn't that sound preposterous to you? It's okay if Jesus is only talking about, you know, someone cutting you off in traffic or forgiving someone for failing to invite you to their party or some, for some random comment on Facebook. But what about other things? What about rape, murder, unfaithfulness, sexual abuse? Has Jesus lost the plot here? Is Jesus getting too generous with other people's forgiveness? We often want and expect people to forgive the things we do, usually things we're unable to forgive others for. But Jesus is not just telling us to try harder or forgive through gritted teeth. He's not wanting to prize forgiveness out of your clenched fist. Jesus is wanting to change your whole understanding of forgiveness. He's wanting to give us transforming power from the Holy Spirit so that you can forgive others, even to forgive those situations that you think that you possibly, that you just can't. Jesus says there was a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And he started by calling a man who owed him a huge sum. 10,000 bags of gold he owed. In today's terms, that would be equivalent to millions and millions of dollars. Because the man couldn't pay his debt, the king ordered the guards to throw him and his family into jail to force him to pay, force his relatives to come up with the cash. But who's got that sort of cash? This guy's debt was massive. It was essentially unpayable. It was like the wealth held by a bank or even a small country. So what did the man do? He begged for mercy, and he promised the king that he'd pay him back if he was given more time. But the king knew that time wasn't going to make any difference for this guy, and so he forgave him his debt and let him go. Straight after leaving the king's palace, the forgiven man goes out and he finds a guy who owes him a small debt of 100 silver coins. This guy doesn't owe him gold, just silver, and not bags of silver. He's talking about just a few coins. This could be equivalent to, say, a day's wage. And he demands from this guy to pay it back. And he even starts to rough him up, and he grabs him and pressures him to pay up. And the man who owed these 100 silver coins pleaded for mercy and for time from his fellow servant, exactly as the big debt guy had done with the king. He'd done with the king. But the unforgiving servant just ignored him. Instead, he sent him to jail, demanding that every silver coin be paid back. When the other servants heard about what the unmerciful servant had done, they went and told the king. And he called this unforgiving servant back in and asked him why he hadn't forgiven the small debt of his fellow servant when he had been forgiven such a massive debt himself. The unforgiving servant had no answer, and the king sent him to prison, where he remained. Do you see what's happened here in this story? It holds the key to understanding why Jesus teaches us to pray and ask God to forgive us our debts before we actually pray for help to forgive those who have wronged us. You see, we're all like the guy who owed 10,000 bags of gold. We have a massive outstanding debt with God, which is essentially unpayable. It is, as Isaiah the prophet said, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. We've wronged God in many and varied ways. We've disobeyed his instructions. We've not honoured or praised him. We've failed to keep his laws and commands. We've lived selfishly, without consideration for other people, even without consideration for the creation that he's given to us. We've got issues with pride, with lust, with hatred, even self-hatred, with lying, with anger. The Bible makes it clear that we actually have no way of paying this debt off ourselves. Our debt burden is just too great. But this isn't recent news to any of you, is it? But if we're honest, we know that we are maxed out in debt to God because of sin. But this is the very reason that I'm a follower of Jesus, and it's also the reason why I'm not a follower of one of the other world religions, as admirable as they are. Many other religions demand that our debt to God also be paid as well. But other religions teach that we need to pay that debt ourselves. They teach that you pay the debt through doing good deeds and by avoiding bad deeds. But if we're really honest, then we know that we're essentially bankrupt and we have actually nothing in us to pay that debt with. You can lock me up for 1,000,000 years and I'll never be able to make a single repayment to reduce my debt burden. Like the guy who owed 10,000 bags of gold, time is not going to change my ability to repay that debt. And so this is the very point of Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant. You see, when you actually really grasp that you're a big debtor and that God has forgiven you an enormous debt, it humbles you. When we admit we can't pay and we accept what God has done to remove our debt in Jesus, we are also transformed. And one of the ways we're transformed is that we become forgiving people ourselves. Experiencing God's forgiveness is not conditional on you forgiving others. Your ability to forgive others, though, is the outworking of God's forgiveness in your own life. You can't really be a person who forgives others without first experiencing and appreciating God's forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom, a young Dutch girl who helped to hide Jews from Nazis in the Second World War, found this to be true. When she was confronted by someone who tormented and humiliated her, but who wanted her to forgive him for what he had done. You see, Corrie ten Boom, along with her family, were arrested for hiding Jews. They were taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp, where she and her sister were forced to strip naked and parade in front of the guards. In the camp, her sister and her father, they died along with countless others, and this left this massive scar on Corrie ten Boom's life. After the war, as a Christian, Corrie ten Boom then began to travel all over Europe, and she began to talk about forgiveness. But once, when she was speaking at a church in Berlin after the war, a man came up to her whom she didn't recognize. Not at first. But he was one of the cruel guards whom had forced her and her sister to parade naked in the concentration camp. But when she recognized him, she felt so cold inside. As he approached her, he said to her, "Miss ten Boom, I was a guard at Ravensbrück, but now I'm a Christian. I've found the Lord Jesus. I read the Bible, and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the world, including my sins. I've received forgiveness for the cruelties I've done." Then he said to her, "I ask by God's grace forgiveness from one of my victims. Miss ten Boom, once you were forgiven, will you now forgive me?" he asked. But hearing this, Corrie ten Boom thought to herself, "I cannot forgive this man." She looked at him and remembered the suffering of her dying sister and her own humiliation. She thought, "I can only hate him." Then a verse came to her mind. It was Romans 5:5, which says, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." There and then, in front of this ex-prison guard, she said, "I thank you, Jesus," as she prayed, "that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who was given to me. And I thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness." At that very moment, she calls it, she was set free. And she could honestly say, "Brother, give me your hand." And she shook hands with him. "It was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms," she said. "You will truly begin to experience the vast depth and width of God's love when you forgive your enemies." Can you forgive? No. I can't either. This was Corrie ten Boom's question and answer. But Jesus can, and he can enable you and I to forgive, which is why we need to ask him to forgive us our debts so that we can be transformed into forgiving people. God's total unconditional forgiveness transformed Corrie ten Boom, and it can transform you today as well. It transformed a person so humiliated and crushed by what had happened to her and her family, and changed her so profoundly that she could meet and forgive her tormentor. But grasping God's forgiveness and extending it to others is not something that we just do for those big debts. It's not also something that we just do for the small debts. It can also transform your entire life. Your marriage, your family life, your work situation, all of your relationships at school, at work, and in your extended family. It can even enable you to forgive yourself, which is sometimes one of the hardest things to do. Asking God to forgive our debts is what Jesus teaches his disciples and us to pray, because we need his transforming power of his Spirit to help us extend real, lasting forgiveness to others. Did Jesus just talk a big game? No. He practiced what he preached. You see, Jesus was also stripped naked and humiliated and made to parade in front of people, naked like Corrie ten Boom. He was nailed naked to a cross, an innocent man suffering and dying an unjust death for us. When they did this to him, Jesus didn't turn around and hurl insults at his executioners. He didn't shout out that he was going to pay them back or that he wished them some sort of fiery end. What did he do? Jesus did what he is teaching us to do today. And he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." You might think, "Hey, Ian, as a Christian and as a follower of Jesus, I've already been forgiven completely today by Jesus. Why do I need to go on praying and asking God to forgive my debts?" The reason we're to continue praying, "Forgive us our debts," is so that we are constantly drawn back to our debt that God has paid for us, and so that we remember that God is forgiving and merciful to us, which reminds us that we are to be forgivers of others. Who are you holding yourself back from forgiving today? Could be someone who has done something terrible to you. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you need to meet up with that person. Doesn't mean that you need to trust them again. Doesn't mean that you need to even shake their hand. But it does mean that you need to let go of your revenge and allow God's love and the Holy Spirit to transform you and to set you free from the hold that this incident or this person has over you. Today, Jesus is calling you to experience the transforming power of forgiveness, which can turn big debtors into big creditors, which is what God is wanting to do in your life today. As the band comes back, as we sing our final song, I want to invite you to reflect on the debt you have with God. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, then thank him for his forgiveness and ask him to help you be a quick forgiver of other people. But today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, or if forgiveness has been a big issue for you and still is, and you find yourself unable to forgive someone or unable to forgive people in general, and that you're holding on to bitterness and grudges, then today I want to encourage you to ask God to change that, to transform you, because he wants to set you free today. To do this, you can begin by asking God to forgive your debts to him first. This is the starting place of your transformation. It is only as God transforms you and fills you with his Spirit that you will have the power to forgive others. You see, you need the power and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your life to do that. You won't be able to do it on your own strength. So as we sing our final song, I want to invite you to sing in an attitude of prayer and to tell God that you acknowledge your debt burden and that you realize that the debt you are carrying is too big for you to carry yourself. And I want you to ask him to forgive your debt and tell him that you accept what he's done in Jesus to pay that debt. and then receive His forgiveness and be filled today with His Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, so that you can be transformed. Let's sing.